Why did I play "We Wish You a Merry Christmas" at the start of our time together today? We wish you a Merry Christmas, we wish you a Merry Christmas, we wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Bring us a figgy pudding. Who's ever eaten figgy pudding? Yeah, me neither.
Question.
Yeah, what is it? I don't know. I imagine it's like a plum pudding only with figs. But the next half, we won't go until we get some. That's what caught my attention. Bring us some figgy pudding. We won't go until we get some. How scary would that be to have a group of carolers outside your door saying, "We won't go until you get some, so bring it out here." Very, very scary. However, figgy pudding. Can I suggest that figgy pudding could be representative of something else? And I'm going to read to us from Genesis. Every good Christmas sermon should start with a reading from Genesis, shouldn't it? Here we go, from chapter 32, Genesis 32. That night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he couldn't overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched, and he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it's daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." The man asked him, "What's your name?" "Jacob," he answered. And the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome." Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask my name?" And then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "It's because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. Okay? So for us this morning, I want figgy pudding to remind us of the blessing of God. Right? We won't go until we've got some. Right? Bring us some figgy pudding. We won't go until we've got some. Jacob wouldn't let go, and because of that tenacity, that I want to say struggle, but I don't want to suggest that the Christian life is about how hard we struggle. That's not it at all. It's about tenaciously holding on and not letting go.
Amen.
I know what God has got for me, and I will not let go of it. There will be blessing if I hold tight to God.
Yes.
So because he wouldn't let go, because he held tight and he was tenacious in holding tight, his name was changed. But not only Jacob's name was changed, the name of the place was changed. It was changed to from whatever it was before. Might not have had a name that anyone cared much about, but it gained a name, the name of Peniel, which has something to do with encountering God. So an encounter with God brings, for Jacob, a new identity. And because the place has a new name, the place has a new meaning, right? The very place where he encountered God has a new meaning for him. And for many people, as we'll see, that place called Peniel carries on with a deep significance right through for a lot of years later, hundreds of years later. So let's leap forward a few hundred years and let's have a proper Christmas reading, okay, so we can really put it down in the stats. Had a proper Christmas reading. And we're into Luke chapter 2, okay? Luke chapter 2. So we've had the angels washing their socks by night, the bar of sunlight soap coming down, and I mean the shepherds washing their socks, and the angels appeared. So then the angels left them, is where we come into the reading, verse 15. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord had told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they'd seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they'd heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it's written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was in Jerusalem a man called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went to the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and glory of your and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marvelled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that we will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." Just pause there for a moment. So here's Simeon, who I think, like Jacob, for his whole long life, has been holding tenaciously to the promises of God, holding on, looking for the blessing that he knew would be his because God had promised the blessing to him. And here comes Jesus, just an ordinary Thursday, with his mother and his father. And Simeon sees him, and like John the Baptist in Elizabeth's womb, something stirred up inside Simeon. God stirred up inside Simeon. And he knew that this was the one he'd been waiting for. Simeon knew that his tenacious holding on to God is now over because he has seen the salvation of the Lord. He's received his promise. And this speech of Simeon is one of those great little pieces in the scripture which people have given a name. And they call this speech the Nunc Dimittis, right? Now dismiss your servant. The Nunc Dimittis, little Latin phrase. So my eyes have seen your salvation. So for his whole long life, he's been holding firmly to God's promises. And he sees them fulfilled in Jesus. And he gives praise to God and he says, "I've seen it all. I've seen everything I need. I can now go home." We don't know how long after that Simeon went to be with the Lord, but we knew that the purpose for which he'd been holding tenaciously to his faith has been fulfilled. Then there wasn't just Simeon. There was Anna. What do we know about Anna? What was she? What sort of gifting? What sort of... She was a prophetess, yes. There was also a prophet, prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Penuel. That name sounds familiar, doesn't it? The daughter of Penuel. Similar sort of name to Peniel. And as a matter of fact, some manuscripts of the Old Testament call that place Penuel with an E, with a U. Of the tribe of Asher. So here's Anna, who is one who speaks out the heart of God. That's what a prophet is, one who reminds people of the covenant that God has made with them. And here she is, linked by her heritage to this place where Jacob wrestled the angel. The name of that place has come right forward to us to the time when Jesus was born. So here's Anna, once again, like Simeon, receiving this revelation that this tiny 8-day-old baby is the hope of all the world. She was very old. She lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gives thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Israel. So, Simeon and Anna get their figgy pudding. They held on tight until they got their figgy pudding. They got the awareness that God had brought his blessing in the person of Jesus. And I think that's a lesson for us today. We, like Jacob, like Simeon, like Anna, we hold on. We hold on. We hold on. And it's not our holding on that does the trick. It's God's faithfulness that does the trick.
Amen.
But we could choose to let go. We could choose to get off the train. It's holding on. It's being consistently faithful, tenaciously faithful to the blessing of God in Jesus.
Yes.
That will enable us to take our part, to play our part in the bringing of salvation into the world. God is going to do his work of salvation through Jesus, no matter what I do. But if I hold tenaciously to my faith and to his promises to me, I can be like those people in King Henry the Fifth, who say, we few, we happy few, we band of brothers, we've stuck this out, we've lasted it through. And the ones who have stayed home in bed, I don't mean literally staying home in bed today, but the ones who haven't tenaciously held tight to the promises of God might be embarrassed, will feel that they've missed out, because we've held tight, we've stayed faithful, we've held tight to the promises of God, which is the decisive thing. And we've been part of bringing God's salvation to the world. Like Mary, who took all these things and treasured them in her heart, the things that she heard from the shepherds, the thing that she heard from the angels, all the things that God had revealed to her about Jesus. She took those things and she hid them in her heart and she treasured them. And she held onto them tenaciously. She wouldn't let go. And she was part of this great blessing that God brought to the world in the person of Jesus. So while it might seem a bit scary to think that there's a mob of carolers standing outside singing, bring us some figgy pudding, we won't go until we've got some. We think about that and we think about the woman bashing on the door at midnight. I've got a guest, I need some bread. I've got a guest, I need some bread. Or the woman shouting at the unjust judge saying, I need this case resolved. I won't give up. I won't give up. I won't give up. And finally, the judge, the person, the woman making the bread, comes out and gives them what they need. The carolers singing about figgy pudding, Jacob wrestling with the angels, Simeon and Anna through their whole long lives are like these tenacious people holding on firmly. Like in Matthew 12 comes to my mind. Matthew 12, about the kingdom of God is apprehended by violent people, the verse says. But it's not so much that the kingdom is under attack by people that want to pull it apart, although that's certainly true. The essence of the verse is we've got to be tenacious. We've got to be fair dinkum. That's how we take our place in the kingdom of God, to be fair dinkum and tenacious and to hold on and to not go until we've got our figgy pudding. So let's rejoice in the figgy pudding that's born today, and let's make it our business and our life to hold tenaciously until we see all the blessings that God has for each one of us.
Yes?
Each season brings something different, but we know that God's faithful to his promises. And everything that he promised to us in Jesus will come, both the generic blessing of salvation and a whole new world, and the individual blessings of the things that he promises to each of us in the privacy of our prayer time, or in the intimacy of a word spoken to us through the stirring of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Those things will come to pass. The faithfulness of God is true, and we will get our figgy pudding. Let's pray. We thank you, Father, that you are faithful, that you've shown your faithfulness by sending Jesus to us and by all the things that you've dared and achieved through his life and his death and his resurrection. And as we consider that little 8-day-old baby who so stirred the hearts of Simeon and Anna, that tenacious wrestling with Jacob is recalled even in Anna's heritage, that your purpose goes on right through history and you will achieve your goals. You will achieve your goals. You will save those who trust in you. Help us to keep our trust firm for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Amen.